I'm Lewis Cecil Jardine Banyard from Purley, which is Malden is the main place where I went to for school and then finding me wife and stuff like that, what you do.
So your family were all in Purley?
Malden. Granddad and granny was in Malden.
Yeah.
And my uncle lived in Malden. He started the taxis, Banyard's Taxis,
which
is still about.
Yeah.
And struggled like heck to make it pay for two cars. Now there must be 200.
What year was it that he started the taxi company?
Roughly? I should think that was obviously after the war, because he was in the RAF. And when he came out, he was a bus driver. So the last bus at Malden was up to Snine. He used to say, well, you want to go to Bradwell, I'll take you. So he used to get his car out and that's how he started off, see?
I see.
Then he thought, well, I might as well do taxi work as working on the Eastern National. But
Lewis, you went to school in Malden?
Malden Secondary, yeah. Well, it's a shame somebody ain't been round and collated some of the boys that went there, because some of them have done very well. A good handful of the school. I mean, I went to school with Alan Wiseman. Well, he owns half of Malden and Heybridge now, so he didn't do too bad. There's Ivan Whittaker, he's self-made. Loads of us all went our own ways and didn't do too bad overall. And I think perhaps that was like a big part of Malden where the girls went to the girls' jobs, i.e. Evereddies and Sads and places where girls worked. And all the boys went to Sads and Bentalls and all the working places. And
where did you go?
I went to Malden Ironworks. And that particular year, there was only three of us who were three apprentices there, and they normally took six apprentices a year, but this year they only had three. They was cutting down because it was almost the demise of it. I left there, that sold out to Sads or somebody, and they said, oh, we've got you a job there. I said, no, I'll get my own jobs. So,
what were you doing in the ironworks? What was your apprentice for?
Went through the whole factory. Started off in the engineering, where they'd done the marking and the drilling and the welding, and then went into the where they'd done the casting and the moulds, and I was a core maker for the foundry for a while. And
what does that mean?
That's the posh part of the foundry where they make the moulds, which go inside other moulds, so they could cast a lot of stuff. Done a lot of stuff for Hoffman's and places like that, Bear and Caps, all that sort of, all hands-on, no health and safety, and just all old boys who'd worked there all their life. And schoolboys as well, when I got there. I started, and there was boys who was in the higher part of the school, and I said, yeah, I know your brother. Yeah, he's it. And so it was a big family thing.
And quite a big company.
It was quite big, yeah. Quite big. There was quite a lot of people. There was a blacksmith shop. You went through that as well. And then there was the whole lot there at one time. You'd done everything, painting, making, sort of melting the metals, making the stuff, everything there.
And all done within that building?
All done within Malden Ironworks.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier about Once Road.
Once Road, yes. Pickles come on the BBC and he said he's been up Once Road and there's four churches and four pubs. And I thought, well, I know where the four pubs are. Well, I couldn't work out the four churches, but they obviously must be along there somewhere. But there was a lot of other things along there as well. There was a coach firm. Hall's Coaches used to run out of that little... How they done it, I don't know nowadays. I used to go out there and go to Steeplestone in the hot weather. And then there was a do-it-yourself shop. An old boy, actually, he was a bit older than me, but he was in Morden School, and he started up do-it-yourself, selling bits of wood, nails, all that sort of stuff that B&Q do now. But of course, he was a bit too premier, I suppose, because people didn't really do much DIY then. So, but he made quite a big inroad to it, and I think he went to Australia and got quite big at it. But Morden, that didn't sort of take off too quickly. But
and you mentioned about selling logs. Was that
down Once Road? Shop? There was a lovely old local firm who used to do odd jobs and rag and bone and that, but he during the winter would sell logs about 2 shillings a bag. Might not have been that much, because at the same time there was the gasworks, and you went to somebody's old girl's house and she said, well, can't slip round and get me 100 weight of coke. No, lady, ain't got time for that, but got some nice logs here. Oh, well, I'll have one bag. And so he was trying to compete with the gas company. Well, a nice big bag of coke lasted a lot better than a few logs. And so he used to, like, hawk them round Morden's, bang on the doors, said he wants some logs. Soon got the hang of keeping one log in each bag till you've got a bag full for yourself, which helped the 1 and 6 months out he give you, or whatever it was, till pea picking time come or something like that, you know.
So you went pea picking?
Oh, everybody beavered away, yes, yeah, that wasn't like...
But with your family?
Yeah.
All going out together?
Yeah, well, no, not all the family, all the kids after school, because if you get 10 bob, there's a lot of money, I tell you. And so there was no homework after school, you was out. Trying to do something.
Trying to get some money.
Well, anything you could lay hands on, yeah, that's right. And just life tickled on like that. But the main thing I'd like to say is about how Morden had so much... They had the relay going around Fitcher's Crescent all round. You couldn't afford a radio. You had, like, a speaker, which just done light and home. So when the old man got in from work, he could hear the news or something. That's all it was.
And that was just around Fitch's?
That was, area. Yeah. Well, that went quite a bit round Morden. They must have had some deal with the telephone people, because on every pole they had a wire which run to people's houses. And I think it was pretty mainstream in most places. I think Braintree had a relay station, and there was just like one big radio at Cup's Corner, and that used to supply all these speakers everybody had. What? Well, of course, the old boy, I think whatever he charged a week, if he went there and you was out and he never got the money, next week that was too much, so you didn't get it at all. Because them days they had a penny for the gas and a penny for the electric and a penny for something else, and if they missed the relay next week, that was you couldn't get it. They insisted you get something. Well, there was nobody in. Yeah, they always make out there's nobody in, but we used to do that as well, some of the brightest of us.
So was that when you were like a teenager?
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. Right. Well, I didn't go to Morden School, so, I was 11.
So what sort of years would that be?
Oh, no.
19...
Can't remember that now. I wasn't very good at school. I kept saying I should learn more. But it must have been in the 50s, I suppose. Yeah. Well, yeah. I was born in 39, so work it back from there. But it was great, really, and as I say, there was two cinemas. I never ever went to the original one, but I can remember the fish shop that was next door, and you could leave your bicycle there, so everybody who biked into the Picture Palace, there was a huge, great lot of bikes. So, but you had to guard your pump and your bell, because those two things always got stolen somehow or other.
So it was the embassy that you...
No, that was not the embassy. Oh. That was there was a... Where Tesco's originally started in Maldon was the old... I forget what it was called. Not the... the Pavilion, I think it was called. Oh. Might have been. That was empty for years.
Not the Hippodrome.
Might have been the Hippodrome, yeah. That was in the middle of the street. Then there was the newer one, the embassy, further down the town.
And you went as a kid, you used to go there.
I never used to go to the Hippodrome because that was all closed up, but it was all there for many years, derelict as it were. And we used to go to the embassy.
So we're talking about the embassy.
Oh, the embassy, the cinema, yeah.
Yeah. So you remember going and watching films?
Oh,
there.
That's right. Yeah, they used to do it Saturday mornings for the kids. Couldn't hear much because everyone kept shouting and hollering, but we enjoyed it. And then went down to the bus station, got a bus home. It was only on Saturdays that was, so. But we didn't have much time. Couldn't go every Saturday.
And after the ironworks, when you left there, what did you go on to do after that?
Well, I'd done a few jobs on my own. Then Bradwell Power Station started. So I'd done work down there when it very first started for a bit. Mm. I'd done quite well there, really. I think I got a job as a... dumper driver. I think that was when I was breaking into working for myself. And I was a keen worker. I soon had that dumper so clean that never had no names on it. And then I went and rented it out on the site. I said, I'm a little firm starting up. I've got this dumper and I drive it. And I need paying cash because I've only just started with another firm. That's just what we want. So I was working on there for a while. And then I was still working with the dumper who the firm was where I got the job originally and doing there what they wanted done. So I was a busy little fella. So much so, they noticed it and called me into the office. I thought, oh, I've been caught now. What's going to happen? They said, we've been watching you and you're so busy... You're much busier than the other dumper drivers. You're always going about with a load on. And we've made a mark of that. So when we move from this power station, you will be recommended to go to the next one because we do notice workers, even though it's a big site and you think people wouldn't. So I said, oh, so that's very good. And that was Billy McAlbine. So somebody must have put a good word in. There's me thinking I was going to get told off. But I'd done that for quite a while. But that was a bit of cold down there and so forth. But that more or less sort of got the area going. That done more good than harm in as much as a lot of people paid their mortgages off all their little places where they were trying to earn. They never could earn enough. And that doubled the wages overnight. Now, you could get about £8 a week, whereas the normal wages was only £4.10.
So how long were you at Bradwell then?
Oh, blimey.
Long time?
On and off. No, I weren't there all that while. As soon as I got a few bob, I bought a lorry and started carting stuff myself.
Right.
So,
Yeah.
And then just progressed on from there. But I do appreciate you taking this bit of trouble to find out about it, because there's a heck of a lot that's got missing in Maldon that has got soon gets forgot and gone.
That's
like,
right.
I can remember going to the gasworks and getting all the old stuff that what comes out of the coke, like the hardcore and stuff. Mm. Well, my father used to go there and get a lorry load for about two bob tip. And then we used to take it to the farmers and chuck it in their gateways, so they'd got like a little hard, you know. And that was about £4 you got for that. So used to...
Remind me, where were the gasworks?
Right in the middle of the town, opposite the bus station. They've made it into a car park there now because they wouldn't allow them to build on where the gasometer things was. And then they put some houses around the outside, and they call them something to do with the gasworks, or so, I believe so, I don't know, but the I can remember going there when the old site was derelict, and I had a little bit of infinity because another uncle used to work in Malden, and he used to go and wind all those gas lights up.
Oh, really?
So they came on at night and went off in the morning, and I thought, yeah, poor old Freddie can't do that job no more. And I don't know if I still got it. Oh, there are. Look, there's the light hanging up there, which was the one over the gas rooms showrooms.
Really?
Yeah, I thought, well, that'll only get thrown away in the scrap, because I then went on to be a scrap man. I thought, oh, that gets scrapped off. So I've kept it still there now. Glass got broke.
So your uncle on the light, so every night he'd be up turning them
He had a barrow that he wheeled along the road, and he wound a handle, and it went up, made a ladder, and then he walked up it and wound the clock up.
All the way up and down the high street?
Up and down the high street. I think he only had to do it once a week, because I think it's an eight-day clock's on the top of that one there. It's like a big posh thing. And but they had to have new mantles in and a glass on and that, so he found himself ever so busy doing that, so...
It's hard to remember those times now, isn't it?
Well, they've gone, good or bad, but they ain't there now. And it's a shame it's all got forgotten and not writ down, as it were, because a lot of people don't even know when you talk to them about how Malden used to... I mean, they used to get their electric before my time off a Seds down at one of the woodyards.
I've heard that.
And... somewhere in one of the local pubs, I've seen a photo on the wall when they put the cable from where Sads are at Haybridge across the river at low tide to get some electric in the council offices that was halfway up Market Hill.
I've heard that story. Weren't they burning sawdust?
That's right, yeah, they had an old train, that's what they had, and they was burning it in there, and then what they didn't use during the day for themselves, they used to let the... Hyperloy have. I mean, I think you could only have it if you was a Reeves or Brights or Solicitors or somebody like that, you know, some of the top notches.
Yes.
But it was quite good memories, really.
So looking back, good memories of Malden?
Well, good, yeah, very good. They had a good system. I think the system they had where the boys all went and worked, where boys and the girls all went and worked, where girls worked, and then all the duds who couldn't work in either place went and worked for the council, which was fine until now you find that the council's full of duds, and all that's where we're getting all this bad stuff. I know you want to switch that off, but somebody's got to tell them that they got to spend more time tending to the proper job and not worrying about whether they're going to get told off about something or not do something right and have everything political correct. But that's how it was. It was a good system. I'm not decrying it as being wrong, because if you couldn't beaver away and get yourself a job, no one else was going to get you one. And if they weren't up to it, and they eventually got on the council, because it was easy. Oh, yes, and you got a job regardless. And you didn't get the sack either if you was no good. So it was that was fine. But over a lifetime, that worked out not quite as good as that. Because in about the 60s, they decided that they'd have an enforcement team, which they never had in Malden. The councillor used to just in his old swivel chair decide everything himself, and he made a good job of it in most cases, but then as it got too much for him, well, of course, once they got that, every NIMBY or anybody who wanted to complained, and upon my word, this enforcement team, well, they was busy as anything. And then that started a lot of the problems that a lot of people suffered trying to start up. I mean, I've got some beefs I could tell you about Malden that I don't like to really say, but there's been plenty of development. Oh, yes, you can have a house there. But when a couple who was born and bred in the village, struggled to get a caravan on there. Oh, no, that's, we can't have that. Hounded them off with this enforcement action they've now got, been passed upon them. Then all of a sudden, there's some nice new big million-pound houses go up on there. Think, well, if it was either right then or it was wrong now. If they can't, if they couldn't build on it, or if they couldn't live on it, or if they couldn't be there, how come now? See, I was, and that's not, that's quite a widespread thing in this system of the council and how they run.
So, Lewis, now you're here in Latchingdon, still in the scrap metal business?
No, not no more. I'm retired now.
You're officially retired.
Absolutely,
are you?
Retired. Yes.
Looks as if you're pretty busy still.
Well, you can't go by looks. There's a lot of my old mates come down and do a bit and use the facilities, but I'm retired. Yeah. And there again, they moaned a bit about it, but because I live on the site, I can cast all this as my garden shed and my hobby or whatever I want to do, you see. Good. If I didn't live here, obviously that would be
different.
Oh, dear, wouldn't it?
Well, thank you very much.